In this week's Parsha, Parshat Ekev, something takes place which really creates a shift. And if we pay attention, you'll notice that this shift will take us to the end of the Torah, and is incredibly important for modern times. What I'm referring to is the Jews not just as a people and not just as a religion, but as a religion which is connected with the land. As we move through the rest of Sefer Devarim, we're going to see more and more expressions of this national entity. In this week, it's introduced, I'm not even going to say in a subtle way, but it's introduced in a gradual way. Of course, entering into the land of Israel, which has always been the promise, is going to be a new type of existence. But here we get an indication of the contours of that new existence. So let me try to explain. We know that part of what Moshe's speech has been from the very beginning of this book has been one to encourage us to follow the mitzvot, to keep the mitzvot. In last week's parsha, he goes over, repeats the Ten Commandments. He says the Shema. These are statements that the individual needs to know that there is one God. They need to know the commandments, and the individual needs to keep these commandments. But what happens in this week's parsha, in Ekev, is the second parsha of Shema is introduced, and that's not in a vacuum. It's introduced within a larger context, and it's that context, and it's the second parsha of Shema, or chapter of Shema, section of Shema, which needs to be understood. In the first parsha of Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hear, Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, the ineffable God, God who is, was, and will be, is our God, God is one. And then it goes on to say, "V'haftet Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol modecha." You should love God with all your heart, all your souls, all of your possessions. Now, I said it over just now in the plural, but it's not really the case. "V'hafta" is speaking to an individual. "B'chol levavcha" with all your heart. "B'chol nafshecha" with all your soul. "B'chol levavecha" with all of your heart. The word "heart" is difficult in this case, but it means with your entire heart. When we look at the second parsha of Shema, the shift that takes place is it's said in the plural. Here it speaks about loving God with all of your hearts, and this time it is really in the plural. All of your hearts, all of your souls. It's interesting it leaves out one phrase. It doesn't say the plural of b'chol ma'odecha, with all of your resources. That's left out, and that may be very significant. What goes on to say afterwards is that if you don't keep these laws, then certain things are going to take place, or certain things won't take place. For example, it says there won't be rain. Now, I want to pause for a moment, because rain was actually the context where this was introduced. Part of it was the nature of the land of Israel. The Torah tells us the land of Israel is hardwired for belief. The land of Israel is a place that we need to pray because we need rainfall. Rainfall is something which causes our eyes to lift up into heaven and to anticipate the rain coming down from heaven. Actually, it goes out of the way to say it's not like Egypt where the Nile will overflow now and again. And just think of the image. The Nile overflowing is something from below, where someone can even be deluded into thinking it comes from below. The rain, you can't make a mistake. The rain comes from above. You need to lift your eyes and you need to plead, you need to pray. Which means the land of Israel is a land which is, again, hardwired for belief. But what it continues to say in the second parasha of Shema, if you don't pray, there won't be rain. And it's over here that we need to realize if we are undeserving of rain, this is something which doesn't affect us merely on the individual basis. It's completely unreasonable for us to expect that if I behave properly and my neighbor behaves improperly, that I should expect that on my land rain will flow as needed, while in their land, in their property, there would be a drought. It doesn't work that way. The falling of rain is itself an expression of the collective. The second parasha of Shema speaks to the collective, which means if we as a people follow the word of God, there's going to be a certain response. If we as a people don't follow the word of God, there's going to be a response. Which means, as opposed to the first parsha of Shema, which in a certain sense is a very personal statement, and it's the individual speaking, and it's speaking to the individual. The second parasha of Shema is something which is speaking to the collective. And over here, it's also worthwhile noting what I had said in passing before. When it comes to the first parasha of Shema, it talks about the individual needs to use all their resources. I'll put it in different terms. An individual can't say, well, kosher food is a little more expensive than non-kosher food, so let me forget about it. On the other hand, when it speaks about the resources of the collective, there's much more room for pragmatism in that, as opposed to micro-observance of mitzvot. And this may not be all that clear, so let me just state it like this for the time being. The collective has a different identity and different responsibility than the individual does. The collective, after all, needs to look after the entire Jewish people. That's not the same as one individual Jewish person. Sometimes the considerations, when one looks at the collective, are going to be different. But what's important for us to note as of this point is that entering into the land means a whole new relationship. We are not just a bunch of individuals. We're something new. We are a collective. We are not just a religion. We are also a nation.